on hold. Their financial circumstances are uncertain. The stock market has been rocked in a serious way. When we look at businesses struggling with this, when we see the fear that is at work and the hoarding of commodities at the grocery store, when people aren't able to go to college or go to school as they once did, all of these things have really created a sense of anxiety in so many people's lives. And in fact, it's created almost a separation anxiety for the loss of what people have and what people had. And Jesus calls us to pull away, to spend some time with Him, to center our thoughts on Him, that our future is secure in Him, that He is here to comfort us and to give us peace even in the midst of chaos. I mean, Jesus says over in Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up My yoke and learn from Me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, I found it interesting. I was talking to one of my daughters this week, and she is one of those young millennials that is constantly going fast. I mean, it's fast and furious in her life. And she said, "You know, Dad, my business is closed down. Everything seems to be, you know, changing. I don't know what the future holds, but I feel so much more relaxed. I feel like some of the stress has just been lifted, and it's been given me a chance to recapture what's important in life." And she's been spending more time, you know, with us, with our family. And so those are huge, huge things that we need to see. Jesus pulled away for a time to be able to recharge. This is a time for us to center on Him, to recharge our thoughts, to find our peace and hope in Him in the midst of a time of anxiety. The second thing that we see, in beginning in verse 4, it says that now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming towards Him, He asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" And He asked this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He was going to do. I think that's a fascinating passage too, because Jesus sees what's going on. He sees that there's a great need. Matthew and Mark's gospel actually says that Jesus had compassion on the crowd because all of these people had traveled out into the wilderness where He had gone for a time of rest, and now they're not near a town. They're out in the wilderness. They're out on a hillside. It's the springtime. It says that it was a grassy area, and so we know that it was spring because in the summertime, the grass in Israel turns brown because of the heat. So it's springtime, just like now. The weather is nice, but it's getting warmer. It's getting hotter. There's no water. There's no food. There's nothing for them. There probably wasn't a lot of things that could help them. And Jesus has compassion on them. As we go through these uncertain times, Jesus has compassion on us. The point that I want you to see is that Jesus sees and addresses our needs with compassion and provision. Because I think that it's really significant for us to understand that if He just has compassion for us, if He just loves us, that's one thing. But He also provides for us. It's not just an empty promise of an experience and a relationship that we have with Him. He gives us provision as well as compassion. Jesus, like other rabbis, was sitting down. He was ready to teach those who were present. He first wanted to teach His disciples. He wanted to hear their reports from their mission trip. He wanted to spend some time alone with God the Father so He could spend time in prayer. And yet all these people come, and as they come, they have needs, and He is ready to address those needs. He asks Philip, and Philip is usually always associated with Andrew. He says, "Where are we going to buy food for these people?" He wanted to buy food for them because he was concerned about them. Now, it also tells us that it is the Passover time. It's one of the three Passovers that is mentioned in the Gospel of John. This is the second one. And what's really interesting is we are now coming in on Passover time. As we approach Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, we too are approaching Passover time. So it's kind of cool that we are focusing in on these passages as we're getting ready for the resurrection story. God has a plan and a purpose for us. Jesus, it says here in verse 6, had a plan and a purpose to feed the multitude. Matthew, Mark, and Luke say that it was 5,000 men plus all of the women and children. So it was 10,000 plus people or more that are there in desperate need for if it were in our world, humanitarian need, humanitarian aid. It was a massive group of people that needed help. And Jesus responds with compassion and provision because it's his purpose. Jesus is never caught by surprise. So COVID-19 does not surprise Jesus. He's there to meet with us, that we live in a world that's broken and fractured by sin, and he meets us in the midst of this brokenness, and he meets us in the midst of our fear and disconcertedness. He meets us with hope and peace and love. Jesus had a plan. He knew what was going on. You see, most people, when they see needs, they act with compassion, but they can't act with provision. But Jesus acts with provision. You know, what I really also found is that God is at work, and he works sometimes through other people. And it's really been neat to see how these acts of kindness, these works of kindness, these works of love that people have been doing all over. I understand that there was a case, a situation where this individual with multiple myeloma needed stuff, and he and his wife were at a place where she could not go out to get supplies, and she makes this known on Facebook, and within minutes there is this movement of people that are getting the stuff that they need and are ready to deliver, and they are total strangers. That's a God thing, working in the lives of people. I think it's great that the person that plays Rapunzel at Disney decided to dress up in her costume and on her own do some children's stuff to help them have the security that things have changed, but they don't have to be afraid and that their parents are going to take care of them. All of the social distancing does not have to be social isolation, and that we can stay connected and we can still minister and care for each other. And Jesus gives us that example. Again, it's defining who we are. Who do we want to be known as? Caring and loving community, because Jesus is caring and loving. A community that reaches out and provides because Jesus provides for us. The third thing that I think is so cool about this passage is found in verse 7, because it identifies us. This is a verse that really commiserates with those people who have run out and have gotten and purchased for themselves a year's supply of toilet paper. These are the folks that is addressed here. And you know, this is me and this is you. In verse 7 it says, Philip answered him. Jesus asked the question, where are we going to feed him? Philip answers him, 200 denarii, a denarii worth of bread won't be enough for each of them to have a little. Philip immediately goes into that human response. His human nature takes him into that solving problem process. And isn't that how we always do? We start looking at, okay, what kind of food do I need? What kind of commodities do I need? What other kind of personal hygiene stuff do I need? What is going to be, what's going to take care of me and carry me over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 months? Philip went into a marketplace mentality, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that is truly an example of the natural world in which we deal with and solve problems with. And sometimes it works. But in the big issue circumstances of life, it doesn't work, because God works on a different paradigm. And a lot of the things that we struggle with, a lot of the concerns and the issues that we are dealing with now calls for a different paradigm. The old ways that we solved our issues and problems, that marketplace mentality, doesn't really fit the bill and doesn't fill the need. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to destruction. So we try to figure this out so that we can feel secure, but we still feel insecure and we still feel fearful. Now, I know that some people of faith will recoil from what I'm saying here, but maybe we need to read the same scriptures here. We need to understand that God is sovereign, he's in control, and we can trust him and put our faith in him. So whether you're in a faith community or whether you're outside a faith community, the reality is the scriptures teach that Jesus has compassion, that he cares for us, that he has a plan and a purpose, and that our mentality and our paradigms, there is a huge shift here. And the shift is that we can't always solve our issues. We can't create enough respirators. We can't move as quickly. There's not medication necessarily that is equipped now, but we can trust the future, because the future is his to trust. We don't know what the future is, but He knows the future. We truly believe in Jeremiah 29:11 that He's got a plan, and His plan is not for calamity. His plan is for a hope and a future. And so as we come to this reality, we realize that trusting Jesus always starts with a simple faith. In verse 8 it says this, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Well, this is really an interesting lunch. It is tiny. And when you and I hear barley, we think probably we don't usually eat barley bread, and actually most of the people in Jesus' day would have preferred wheat bread too. Barley was reserved for the real, real down and out. The people that really couldn't afford wheat bread had barley bread in Jesus' day. So this is a poor man's meal. It's barley bread and some small fish. In fact, the fish probably was salted and was very shriveled up, and it wasn't very big. It was a tiny meal. But see, here's the cool thing about Jesus. Jesus takes tiny things and does amazing things with them. Jesus takes the stuff that seems completely irrelevant in the big picture things of life, and we look for big, grandiose things for God to use, and in reality, it just takes the tiny, simple things. And it takes simple faith to believe that God can take the simplicity of our lives and do radical things in them. And so when we look at this passage and understand what's going on, we realize that Jesus takes a meal that is totally inadequate for the circumstances, a small meal for over 10,000 people, and He says that He takes them, and it's the perfect sign, it's the perfect setup for a miracle. Later on in John 6, one of the I Am statements, Jesus makes the I Am statement 4 times later on in chapter 6. In verses 35, 41, 48, and 51, He says, "I am the bread of life." So He can take these barley loaves and do amazing things with them because of who He is. So it's this simple reality of trusting Jesus with our lives, our insignificant lives, our lives as average men and women, with all of our circumstances, with all of our fears, with all of the uncertainties, and say, "God, You're bigger than this. Jesus, You've got this, and I have to trust You." And the whole cool thing about trusting Jesus is that that in itself is simple. It tells us over in Romans, the 10th chapter, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So it's the simplicity of faith saying, "Jesus, I trust You. I trust You with the circumstances today. I trust You for the future. I trust You for a life that has meaning and purpose. You have a meaning and purpose for everything and Your plans for dealing with all of the situations in life." And so God wants to bring us to a place where we can embrace Him as He embraces us. The fifth thing that I want you to see, it takes place in starting in verse 10. What I want you to see is this. When we sit in His presence, Jesus does some amazing things in our lives. I don't know about you, but I need some amazing things in my life. And the best place to be, the best posture to be in, is to be close to Him. You know, right now, with social isolation and with separation, with distancing, we don't want to be close to people. But we do need to be close to Jesus. And Jesus is that place that when we are in His presence, and all throughout the Scripture it says sitting in His presence, being in His presence is incredible. And it says, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Just a simple sentence. But it has so many huge implications. Have the people sit down. Sit down in My presence. Be with Me. Let Me provide for you. Let Me furnish what you need. And it says there was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. And the men numbered about 5,000. And then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were full, He told His disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left, left over by those who had eaten. So the people sat down. They were in the presence of Jesus. And it says that Jesus served them. Now, probably when you read the other Gospels, Jesus served them. He served them through the disciples and then through the people that were sitting there. And that Jesus provided this amazing, amazing sign, this amazing miracle, that He, the bread of life, He that was going to give His life, His body, His flesh for our sins, and just a few weeks from this event taking place, that He was providing them this incredible, incredible miracle. And God wants to meet us in our circumstances, in our fear, and in our anxiety, and to give us His provisions for us. He wants to show His compassion for us. And so with His presence is everything. So over the next days and the weeks that we have this time in which we are shut down, it's a time to sit, to be quiet, to quiet down and to stop talking and to kind of listen more. It's a time to stop running and going crazy. It's a time to slow down and to refrain from trying to figure out and solve our problems right now. We can't solve the problems that are going to take place in September. We can't even solve the problems of the things that are going to take place in May or June. But we can deal with today. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough to deal with tomorrow. Trust me today. And so we need to sit in relationship with Him. We need to sit in His presence. We need to be able to sit and experience His glory, His love, His compassion, as well as His provision. So in a world that is not satisfied, it tells us that they were all filled and satisfied, and there was stuff left over. Right now, I'm afraid that so many people aren't satisfied with the stuff that's going on in life. And they're really concerned and worried about today, tomorrow, and for the near future. But it says, after this miracle, they were all satisfied because they had been sitting in His presence. Man, my prayer is for everyone that's listening to this, is that you feel the contentment and the satisfaction of being in the presence of Jesus. That Jesus can comfort you and remove your fears, give you new directions. I know for a lot of us, it's a restart. It's a reset. It's a new beginning. And that we have no idea what God is going to plan for our church, for our community, for our faith community, for the bigger community, for each other as individuals. And that Jesus wants to serve us. Isn't it cool that this is a meal that feeds over 10,000 people? It's a meal that means that there is some sort of intimacy in the connection of that, because the symbols of that meal are symbols of His own life that He's about to give on the cross. It reminds me of the second part of Revelation 3:20. We hear the first part. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And we all want that. We want Jesus to come in. But look what it says at the end of that last verse, part of that verse. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Isn't that what happened with the feeding of the 5,000? They ate with Him and they were made content. They ate with Him and they found peace. They ate with Him and had relationship. They ate with Him and He met their needs. And that today we can come in and sit with Him and be in His presence. The bread and the fish, both are statements of Christ's body and His blood, His flesh, that in John's context, in a few weeks He's going to be crucified. In our context, in a few weeks, we're going to remember that Jesus died for us. So the feeding of the 5,000 are signs that points the way to the cross, and just as importantly, points the way to the resurrection. So this is all about the cross and its power and the resurrection of Jesus. That answers our greatest needs, that He gave His body for us. And then through His death, we have forgiveness and life. Through His resurrection, we have new life and a new beginning. He gives you life, hope, peace, love. And instead of uncertainty, we have certainty. Instead of an unprecedented time, this is a time of great precedence where we encounter Jesus in a fresh new way. I want to lead you in a prayer that you can pray right there with you. I invite you all to, right there in your living rooms, your kitchens, or if you're sitting out on your deck, or maybe you're at a coffee shop, you're one of the few people that are allowed in. Maybe you're sitting on the outside, they delivered your coffee for you. I want you to pray with me. Dear God, it's all in your hands. I trust you. Jesus, you're everything. I just want to be in your presence. Remove my fear. Remove my anxiety. Jesus, I trust you. You're Lord, you're Savior. Your word says, call upon you to believe and trust, and we are changed. We are saved. We're made new. So today, God, we ask that you might truly reveal to us this love, this compassion, this provision that Jesus has. The greatest provision is salvation. The greatest provision is his presence. And that's the greatest example of his compassion. He went to the cross and died. He resurrected, was raised on the third day, and because of that, we have life. So God, even in this time, changing times, help us to experience this new life in Jesus. In Jesus' name.